wake up, one of the first things I do is I review the scripture lessons, and I review my sermon one more time. And this morning I realized that I prepared a sermon based on next week's scripture lessons. That's why things are flip-flopped. And I texted Ian this morning and said, oh no, guess what? And so we printed lessons, and so next week we'll have this week's lessons. So we won't miss anything, we're just going to flip-flop them. And my wife suggested to me that perhaps that was the Lord working and moving, and maybe someone needed to hear these scripture lessons this week. So, who knows? We'll leave it up to the Lord. So, please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for your hand of provision. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the wisdom that you give to us in your Holy Scriptures. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear the word that you would be speaking to us today. We ask for us to be able to hear your Holy Spirit, that you would give something to each one of us today. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. So my family and I were away this past week. We were up in Maine, and there was practically no cell coverage. We had to drive several miles to find this spot between the mountains where you had a line of sight to a cell tower if we wanted to check email. And strangely, it was a blessing. I don't know if you've ever tried to go without being able to check email or Facebook or whatever it is you do online for a long period of time, but after the initial panic, it's really okay. And right? In some ways, being out there is learning what you can live without. What do you actually need? We were camping near a section of the Appalachian Trail, and in talking with some of the thru-hikers on the trail, we got a little bit of a discussion about what do you actually need? What do you really need in life? And hiking the trail certainly helps you to shed some of those things that you don't need. Someone was remarking to me that often at the beginning of the trail down in Georgia, where people typically will begin, there's often lots of stuff left along the trail sides, here and there. Things hung on trees, things abandoned here and there, because when you're hiking that far, every ounce counts. You know, there are some people that will buy one of the travel-sized toothpastes and then squeeze half the tube out so they only have to carry half of the toothpaste. Okay? You know, every little bit counts, and you start off thinking you need all this stuff, and by the end of the trail, which we were very close to the end of the trail in Maine, people were coming through with torn clothes, beat up backpacks. You could smell them from 30 yards off. It was interesting, but they had very little. And Noah and Karis and I had decided to hike a certain section of the trail, and we had these huge backpacks. And we tried to be smart about what we brought, but still, when I saw the thru-hikers, I was slightly ashamed of all of the debris we had brought. It's nice to have a life that is full of wonderful things and whatnot. What do we actually need? Where does it really come down to for us? What is the recipe for happiness? What's going to make us happy? What's going to bring us fulfillment? I hate the word happiness in many respects because it's such a shallow word. God doesn't really deal in happiness. He deals in joy and satisfaction, fulfillment and completion. Happiness is up here. It's a byproduct, perhaps, of some of that stuff sometimes. How many of you have seen those signs that say, live, laugh, love? Right? How many of you want to admit you have one in your kitchen? No? All right, fair enough. We have it in our camper. That and lots of other little phrases like that. You know, and they intend to point out what's really important in life. What makes for a happy life together as a family. And in the Word of God today, Proverbs talks about wisdom. And we are supposed to, as the scriptures say, lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. And where does insight come from? True insight, except from the mouth of God through His Holy Scriptures. And that's given to us today. Essentially, we're told to fear God, to love God, obey God. We're supposed to talk to Him, to honor Him with our words and actions, to look to Him for our needs, and to realize that He gives us everything that we need. In the psalm today, the second verse, I will start with the first verse. It says, "Fear the Lord, you that are His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing." So, fear. Have we experienced fear? Is there a time in your life where you've ever felt terrified? Filled with fear? I don't know. Maybe. I've had a few occasions where I've had the hair stand up on the back of my neck, and I thought, that's a new sensation. This is not the kind of fear we're talking about. This is a holy reverence and awe of the God who created us, who created everything around us. And this is the psalmist realizing that everything that we have comes from God. He goes on in the second part of the verse and says, "For those who fear Him lack nothing." When we fear the Lord, we honor Him, we love Him, and to love God is to obey God. I know that that sounds like a hard statement. We read in Scripture, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you love God, keep His commandments, we read. And so, love and obedience are tied together. The psalmist goes on, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good." We spend a lot of time in our lives seeking after things. What are we going to seek after today? What are we going to seek after this week? Where are we going to put our time? Where are we going to put our money? Where are we going to put our mental effort and energy? What are we going to worry about? Those who seek the Lord lack nothing that is good. The psalmist continues, "Come, children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who among you loves life and desires long life to enjoy prosperity?" This is not God saying, "If you love me, I'll give you a helicopter," or whatever exorbitant thing. He's saying, "I have the words of life. If you obey me, you're going to lack no good thing. Everything that you need, I will provide for you." Look at the epistle. It's a warning to not be foolish. From Ephesians, it says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." As human beings, it's natural for us to want to seek after our own will, to fulfill our own will in pursuit of our own happiness. But if we will hang up our own will and say, "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done," it's then that the Lord can come in and work in our lives and guide and direct us. And when we seek to walk in His will, we lack no good thing. We're exhorted to be filled with the Spirit, not to fill ourselves up, in this case, with wine. He says, "For that is debauchery," to fill us up with other things. You know, the stuff that doesn't last, things that don't really sustain us, but be filled with the Spirit of God who does sustain us. And then in the gospel lesson, it's wonderfully tied together in Christ. If you sit down and read Holy Scripture, you will begin to discover that everything is wonderfully tied together in the person and work of Jesus Christ. "I am the living bread come down from heaven," Jesus says. "Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." It's So we've heard from the psalmist, we've heard in the epistle, the recipe for life. And now we're hearing in the gospel that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these things. He is the living bread. Jesus goes on and says, "This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died." If you will recall, just a few weeks ago, we heard about the Israelites in the desert and how God fed them the quail and the manna. And they ate that bread, but they died. You know, as we talked about with the kids and youth this morning about what things need to survive, we cannot survive eternally without Christ. He is the bread that satisfies us eternally. True completion, true satisfaction, true happiness is found in Christ. Oftentimes people say, what's the meaning of life and why were we created? Has anyone ever asked a version of that question to you? Or have you thought about it yourself ever? Maybe when you have time to sit down and think, why am I here? What's the point of all this anyways? Westminster Short Catechism says to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So often we forget that we are eternal beings right now in a physical and dying body. But we need to live in such a way that we recognize our eternal nature and what God has done for us to have a whole and complete, fulfilled eternal nature. Following Christ doesn't mean we won't have the trials and the storms and the things of life, for sure. It's a challenge. Following Jesus is not easy. If anybody says, come follow Christ, he'll smooth everything out. It doesn't always happen that way. In fact, sometimes it gets a little bumpier. But the beauty is that we travel through things with the Lord, not alone. And God himself sustains us during those times. Have you ever had a time in your life where everything fell away? Maybe your health was failing, or your finances were falling apart, or someone that was very close to you died. Something terrible happened. Maybe you lost your job, lost your house. I don't know what. Maybe things are coming to your mind right now. Where everything fell away, and you had no place else to turn except the Lord. Was not the Lord faithful in those times? And did he not surprise you with his grace and his provision and his comfort and his mercy? Sometimes we reduce Jesus to a size that's comfortable for us. Right? Jesus, the King of Heaven, Creator, we take him and we reduce him down. We make him into something that conforms to our wants, our desires, or into little manageable categories because we're human. Even though this is comfortable, the Jesus we accept may not be the Jesus that we need. Where have we accepted a simplistic, overly sentimental, or reductionist view of Jesus? We are called to follow Christ into intimate places of prayer and trust, and when we do, our vision of him is always deepened and expanded. I want to close with a story of something that occurred on our little vacation up in Maine together. Being a pastor, I really can't help it when things happen. It turns into a sermon illustration. Well, I'm sorry, but I really wanted to have a nice experience with Noah and Karis out on the trails. I took them out for a hike on the Appalachian Trail. Our plan was to hike 8 miles or so one day, and then sleep over on the trail, have breakfast, get up the next morning, come down the rest of the way, the other five or so miles down to the road where Kristen was going to pick us up right on time at noon. And so we set out as planned. It was very hot that day. The weather report said 30% chance of showers. Well, we ended up hiking 10 miles because Noah really wanted to sleep at the top of Old Blue Mountain. Now, tops of mountains and lightning storms don't mix very well. However,
there was only a 30% chance of showers. No mention of thunderstorms. And I said, all right, let's do it. So we made it up on top. And it was getting dark, so we pitched the tent, made dinner, we were relaxing, and looking at the beautiful view, and then off in the distance I heard, I thought, oh no. And we looked off, and sure enough, you could see lightning out there way far away, and you could just barely hear the rumbles of thunder. And they started getting louder. And he said, let's just see which way it's going to go. It's still a long ways off. Maybe it'll scoot around us. So finish your dinner, you know. Noah looks at me wide-eyed. He says, we should hike down now. We had just hiked 10 miles. We were tired. Garris was done. And thinking, all right, Lord, what's going on? Started praying, and the storm was coming right at us. And lots of lightning, lots of thunder. And I said, all right, tear it apart, break camp. So we had the practice of setting up the tent, rolling out our sleeping bags, rolling them back up, tearing the tent down. We did everything except sleep in. And so we packed everything into our bags, and I started praying. By now it's pitch dark. We had headlamps and flashlights, and it was the steepest part of the trail to go down, which we wanted to do when we were fresh in the morning. I said, all right, Lord, we're getting off the mountaintop. It's not a good place to be in the lightning. Please be with us as we go. Keep us safe. Help us not to slip, fall, have any injuries, you know. And so we started down the mountain, and 45 minutes in, it hit us. Full on, downpour, high winds, frequent lightning. We were on the top of a ridgeline working our way down, and the lightning was close enough that you could hear the snap, and then the instant boom of the thunder. And I just thinking to myself, okay, God doesn't promise to deliver us from every storm, but he sure promises to be with us in the middle of them. And so we just started praying and singing worship songs going down the trail in the dark. Every time the lightning would flash, the silhouettes of all the trees and the rocks would show up, and then it would go dark again. It was quite an experience. And we had to hike down some steep cliffs with lungs hammered into the rocks because they were very steep. It was interesting. So, but the Lord got us down. And it was a good lesson for me, certainly, and for my kids to be able to see that we didn't expect that storm. In fact, everything that day said there wasn't going to be a storm. It blew up out of nowhere. God knew it was going to happen. We didn't. Came from nowhere. We saw it coming a little bit. Had a chance to pray and invite God into the situation. And he was faithful. He got us through. We got down to the road at 10:30 that night and then walked 4.2 back to the campground. So it was an 18-mile day. My children will never forget. But it's a lesson that they'll have for the rest of their lives when something comes up. So we all face storms. Things come up unexpectedly. And God is faithful. He does show himself strong. And in surprising ways, where he knows we need his presence, and he knows we need his grace. If we will but trust the Lord and fear him, love and obey him, he will not forsake us. In the name of Christ, amen.